Just thank you for today. Thank you for all that you do. And we just want to be closer to you, Lord. We want to hear from you. And we pray that your words be spoke here today, Lord. Not mine, but your words, Lord. We want to obey, and we hope that we will follow your spirit throughout the day. We pray for this movie, in that it is actually a good representation of you. We pray that it'll be here another week, so maybe we could catch it and see it. We pray for those who are not here, Lord, for those who are lost and just searching for answers, Lord. We pray for traveling mercies, if that's the case, or if they're ill. Lord, we pray for the sick. We lift all these people up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Jesse, can you go ahead and read that? All right, so I don't know if you remember from 2 weeks ago, we were talking about right after Paul's first letter, the Thessalonians, people got confused. People got confused about Jesus' second coming, and certain people were teaching that the day of the Lord wasn't coming, it actually was here. They were living in it. Now, the day of the Lord isn't your traditional 24-hour day. You know, it's a term, you know, the day of the Lord, but it's not 24 hours. It's a period of time. Now, we find out through Daniel in his prophecies, it makes sense that it's a seven-year period. So there's a seven-year period, and that's all considered the day of the Lord. Now, the first thing that Paul says is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in our gathering together to him. So there's two different events. You know, it's both part of one big event, but there's two different events. There's the coming of Jesus Christ and there's gathering up to him. Then Paul goes on and he says, for them not to be shaken in mind or troubled. So if you're shaken in your mind, it means you're worried about something, right? You know, your foundation is shaken, so you're not firmly. Seems like there was a huge part of the Thessalonians that were not having a good reaction to thinking that the day of the Lord has already started. You know, it seems like they possibly and might have been worried about something, worried about they missed something, maybe, but they were uneasy. They were shaken. You know, now there was persecution. We know this. And I've already said this, but the persecution has actually gotten worse. You know, it's just continuously going and gotten worse. Now, if the day of the Lord, you know, if it starts with the great tribulation, you know, persecution, you know, it would seem like most of the Thessalonians would be like, yeah, I didn't miss anything. Yeah, the persecution is getting worse, right? So what are they thinking they missed? Now, if the day of the Lord starts with the rapture, you know, that would be something big they missed. That'd be something troubling that you missed. You know, Paul wants to ease their minds by telling them that the day of the Lord has not yet begun. Even though people said, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit told me this. Or, oh, the scripture, I looked up in the scripture in the Old Testament. Yeah, this is the day of the Lord. Or Paul told me. Yeah, Paul wrote a letter just to me, and he wants me to tell you guys that the day of the Lord is here. He said, you know, no, don't don't trust just in that. Trust in what I've told you, what your teachings have been. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, Michelle. So how does Paul know, or more importantly, how do we know that the day of the Lord has not came already? So Paul gives them two things, right? He gives them two things where it has to happen first. And the first thing he mentions is the falling away. Now, there are other translations of Bibles, and they'll actually translate that word to rebellion. Now, the Greek word where they get both rebellion and falling away is apostasia. Apostasia means falling away, rebellion, or departure from a religious belief. That's what it's talking about, is people stepping away from a religious belief. Now, the falling away needs to happen, right, before Jesus comes back. That's what Paul's saying. He's getting to this point. So is Paul talking about people turning away from God, having a rebellion, added in that there's false teachers that are leading people astray, you know, taking them away from the one true God? You know, this does make sense. It makes perfect sense, because we could look at Sodom and Gomorrah, right? We know what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah is that they got so wicked, everybody was doing so much evil that they couldn't even find 10 people where were holy, you know, that God judged them and destroyed the cities. So this makes sense. It's people rebelling, it lays place where there's a lot of evil, right? In listening to today's news, you see it, and it seems like everybody's okay, or, you know, does not allow anybody to hate any religion unless it's Christian or Jewish. But that's okay. You could mock those ones, but not these other ones. So people seem to be pulling away from God. Right? Especially mainstream. You hear about that. It's, you know, like here in small towns, you still see it. In big towns, you have huge churches. But mainstream, they put it out there that people are pulling away. And that would lay a nice, smooth road for the man of sin to come into power. Right? However, I cannot help but think, if the Thessalonians were going under persecution, you know, who's persecuting them would be people what were pulling away from God, right? They were rebelling. Those people who were persecuting them would be, you would say, rebelling against God. So would it be hard for the Thessalonians to say, oh, I could see, yeah, this isn't the falling away? You know, it'd be kind of hard to tell the difference between these people persecuting him and then the falling away. It'd be like today, how bad is it gonna get before you know it's bad? You know, how many people need to pull away to be the falling away? So it makes you think, as far as what if Paul is talking about something else, what would increase evil and decrease good. A departure. Say, the catching up in the air. This would do exactly that. Because if all the people who believed vanished, who would stand up to those who are doing evil? You know, who would be a light in a dark situation, if those people were gone, right? Darkness would have free range to do whatever it wants to do. This event in this event would be very hard to explain, right? It'd be hard to miss also. You know, maybe aliens would beam everybody up. It's just coincidence that everybody beamed up, believed in Jesus. It's just coincidence. Now, there are a lot of people what don't believe in the pre-rapture, but especially after this, I think Paul believed in the pre-rapture. Now, the second thing what needs to happen so they know that they're not in the day of the Lord is the man of sin is revealed. So the son of perdition, or the son of doom has been called, is that Paul doesn't use the term Antichrist, but he sure is describing him. Now, people don't get fooled into thinking he's a good guy. He's going to make tons of promises. He's going to rise to power very fast and make deals. And he's going to make a deal for peace for Israel and the other Middle Eastern countries. And we can see today is that there's still a lot of turmoil over there. There's still wars going over there. However, he's going to make a deal to make peace, a peace treaty. And then halfway through the 7-year period, so 3.5 years, he's going to break that deal. And the Antichrist will show his true colors. I feel like this one, you know, it may or may not be able to see real clear. You know, maybe it's harder spot. You know, there's been a lot too many of people would have been really evil men would have been in powers. You know, and the Jews have been a target for a lot of them. But remember, he said he's going, you know, the man of sin, he's going to come out and he's going to say he wants peace in the beginning. Which makes it tricky. This makes it tricky because sometimes it's hard to see through a lie. But we need to be careful and see through that lie. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, I'll go ahead and read it. Who opposes and exalts himself? It's talking about the man of sin. Above all that is called God, or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the Antichrist will actually make it illegal to worship anything other than himself. You know, he'll put himself in the temple of God. You'll exalt himself saying that, yes, I'm equal to God. I'm not just equal to God. I'm better than God. I am your God. You know, he's kind of pulling at a dog's tail. And God's don't bite him. You know, this will not last. You know, it might sound crazy. You think today, how could people do that and not see? And think, what's going on? Nebuchadnezzar, we see, he actually did this in his reign. He ordered everybody to worship. He put up this golden image and said, at this certain time when you hear the trumpets, you have to bow down and worship this image or you will die. You know, and there, this, he's not alone. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't alone. There's been countless others. Leaders who request their citizens to put their pictures in their homes. They claim to be prophets. There's been all sorts throughout generations. And these are the people for sure you do not want to drink their Kool-Aid. You don't want to go along with them. That's an old saying from in the 70s. There was this group which actually said, oh, yeah, you know, they had a Kool-Aid, but it was poison, and they killed all the followers because that's how you got to heaven. And it was just a weird deal. But that's where that saying comes from. But you don't want to follow into this, these people. So we need to know, be able to tell who's the false teachers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 5 through 7. Jesse, can you read that? So it's important to hold on to the truth, to remember what we've been taught. You know, remember the Bible. For now, the Holy Spirit, Paul talks about somebody restraining the man of sin, and that would be the Holy Spirit in the church, people following God and speaking out for God, you know, following the Holy Spirit. You know, that's restraining the man of sin. You're giving, it's giving people more time to make a choice on which path they want to take. However, lawlessness is already at work. And we can say, duh. We see it. We see it every day. Unfortunately, but once the Holy Spirit in God's church is gone, the son of perdition will be revealed. You know, there's nothing holding him back. There's nothing restraining him after that. And this will begin the day of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Michelle. So the good news is at the end, you know, Jesus is victorious. There's no sense. I mean, you know, it's no surprise. You know, nobody could stand up against God. But Jesus will destroy the man of sin with a breath in his brightness. Unfortunately, the man of sin will have time. And he has this little bit of time. But he will deceive and kill many souls. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 9 and 10. Oh, there it is. That's right. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So sadly, there's a lot of people that will die during this time. And the reason they die is simply because they haven't chosen Jesus. It's kind of hard to imagine how can people have blinders on when evil is going around them. They can't wake up when seeing all this evil around them and people getting deceived. But yet, people do that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 11 and 12. Jesse?
And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
And it's weird. It can sound harsh that God will send a strong delusion. But free will is kind of tricky. It's tricky that we could use it for good, or we can be deceived. You know, God wants everybody to be saved. That's his desire. That's what he wants. However, we are not robots. We're not AI. We have emotion. We have free will. We have a choice, and if we choose to continuously sin and sin, God will allow us to do that because it's our choice. He has given us that free will. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13 and 14. Michelle?
But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So we're made to do good, right? We're made. Now, the Great Tribulation is going to happen. It's going to be a horrible time, and people are going to die and suffer. But we don't have to go through that. God has given us two options to choose from. He's already made his choice. You know, God chose to love us from the very beginning. Before we were ever born, God loved us. He's made his choice. You know, he's left humanity to make their own choice. Verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by your epistle. Now, the word that we translate to get the words traditions also means lessons. And I think this is important. I feel like there's a, I don't know how do you say that. Not necessarily injustice, but I think the translation loses it, and it's probably because of over years, because there is a lot of man-made traditions that should not be held over lessons. You know, and we could think of, there's a lot of things that we do, we just have these traditions, and we just do them, but those should not be held over God's lessons, you know. And unfortunately, there's some that will do it. It's kind of like what the Pharisees were doing, is they were more concerned about traditions as far as, for instance, not working on a Sunday or the Sabbath, Saturday, and then Jesus healed somebody. It's like, oh, well, you can't do that on Saturday. You know, there's a lot of traditions that shouldn't be held over lessons. And I think the NIV, I usually read from the New King James, but the NIV, I think, is a little bit clearer translation in this verse. So it says, so then, brother and sister, stand firm, hold fast to the teachings we pass on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. So we need to hold on to the truth, right? We need to hold on to the truth with everything we have, because the truth will set you free. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 16 and 17. Jesse?
Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word and work.
You know, we need to hold fast. Hold fast to the fact that God is always there for us and he's always there with us. Stand firm on the truth, both in our words, in our work. The man of sin is going to be a very fast talker. Not saying that he'll just be like blabbering. Fast talker means somebody what's good at talking, in a sense, is trying to sway people one way or another. But his fruit from those words are going to be rotten. Unfortunately, there's some out there, even some Christians, what think their words are everything and their work is nothing. You know, they speak a great deal about what they will do. They talk a great deal about what others should do. They even talk more about what others fail to do. You know, they go on and on with their words, and they never get to the work. You know, we need to be established both in our good words, in our good work. Michelle, can you close us in prayer?